You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, I've got a surprise for you today that comes right from the Father. It's a gift. I think you're going to like this very, very much. I know that I do. That's all I can say to you. It is a proof that I've never heard of before. Now, I had planned on doing Job, the Lessons of Job, Part 3 today. It so turns out that we may not get to Job. So I've titled this message, They Live Among Us. Now, to the gift. We could get to the book of Job slightly, a little, you never know, but I'm going to title it, They Live Among Us. Last night I woke up, and all of a sudden, I began getting structure for today's show. Just sort of came along, if you know what I mean, and I believe it was instruction from Yahweh. But as I was showering this morning, he gave me this beautiful tidbit. And I must say that if this doesn't prove to you that the Jews are not who they say they are, then you just aren't awake. Pardon me while I take a sip of clear, fresh water. Okay. First, before I go and tell you the whole secret, what we need to do is go to a couple of scriptures. The first one we'll go to is Luke chapter 11. Now this is verse 43, and we will go for another few verses here because I want to share with you a few things about them. Excuse me. Verse 43, "Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets." Now, they also take the best seats at your feasts, I believe it says somewhere else, right? Well, what does Yahweh tell you to do? I know it's written in my heart that when I go to a place, I deliberately take a lesser seat and let somebody else promote me. Okay? But notice that the Pharisees, they take the best seats. They love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. They always take the first seats for themselves. Now, that in alone is going to prove to you who they are today. Okay? Here's the tidbit. What tribe did they try to make themselves represent? What seat did they take among the tribes? Who is the highest tribe, the highest seat Yes, the tribe of Judah. See, they took the uppermost seat in the tribes. That should prove to you that they, who they are today and what they are. The Pharisees are the ones. Now let's see what, before, we will come back to this chapter in a second, but let's see what Yahweh says to do. When thou art bidden, this is chapter 14, starting in verse 8. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. the Jews trap themselves again. They trap themselves every time. It's so easy. They're really not as intelligent as they would have you believe they are. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take to the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. And here's the principle from the book of Job, from the book of Daniel, from the book of Proverbs, right out of Yeshua's mouth, Yahweh in the flesh. For whosoever exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that humbleth himself. In other words, take the lower room and let somebody promote you to the higher seat. Don't be like the Pharisees and take the highest seat and then have somebody come up to you and say, sir, you're going to have to get out of that seat. That's for somebody else. Do you see? Do you see where the Jews make the mistake over and over and over? I will say something very interesting here in another verse. Verse 12 continues. This isn't to do with what I'm talking about, but it's something to take note of as Israel. Because the humbling verse was 11. Get it? Edom, Esau. But verse 12 tells us this. 12 is for Israel. Then he said also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made of thee. See, when you invite somebody or you give somebody a gift, they are obligated to return the favor, is what he's saying. But he goes on in verse 13. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Just a thought there for you. Very interesting. This would be harder to do today because I would only want to bring people that were poor, maimed, and lame, and blind from our race to the feast that I would want to have for them. It would be a little tougher to do today than it was in times past. However, it's just a mental note for all of you. Let's go back to Luke 11. So I'm going to repeat this again, verse 43. Now, what does Yahweh tell us to do? What does he tell us to do? Take the lowest seat and let somebody promote you. But what do the Jews do? What do the Jews always do? And the evidence is right before your eyes. Why they claim that they are the tribe of Judah, the top tribe, the tribe that holds the sepulchre, that holds the sword, that holds the crown, right? Yes. Woe unto you, Pharisees, Jews, you might as well just say, For ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. That is so heavy right there. I want you to think about this. Think about what he's saying here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you Jews, you hypocrites, for you are as graves that appear not, and men that walk over them, that fall into these graves and traps and troubles, are not aware of them. You see, Yeshua is deep, man, and I'm serious, that's deep. Not only in the grave, I'm that is funny, but really, in reality, that's deep. And just for the sake of this, because we're right here, I want you to see what he says here. This isn't to relate to, I want to talk more about them with the trying to be the tribe of Judah. But I want to read these scriptures because they're just where it's at. I mean, okay? Verse 45, then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. The lawyers were a little upset because they were reproached. Now, who are the lawyers of today? The Jews. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. See, they're Jews, these lawyers, you see? The lawyers are upset that they included him, that he included them too and offended them. He's just like me, or I'm just like him. There was a whole world of people out there just waiting to be offended by Yeshua. And that's the way that I say that about myself as well, is there's, you know, people's feelings are so sensitive today that even a look or the simplest word or a joke or anything could hurt their feelings. And that's my saying, that there's a whole world of people out there just waiting for me to offend them. Well, it was the same thing for Yeshua. Now I realize that, because he got them all. He got all the birds, all the Jews with one stone, so to speak, a proverbial stone. And he continues in verse 48, truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed, again, from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Here it is again, another testimony where he's talking about, he's going to say it in verse 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Pay attention. Verse 52, woe unto you, lawyers, Jews in the legal system that have perverted the legal things, and taken away the key of knowledge is something that's very key here, because I talk about in my article, Dogs, the three article series, Dogs, Pigs, and Sheep, I talk about how the police and the judges do not, most of them really do not know the law, especially the police. But that's all for a reason, because if they knew the law, they'd begin to obey the law. Therefore, the Jews that head the police, that run the police stations and so on and so forth, that run it, and they also run it through another layer of Freemasonry, so they have influence on the police in several areas. They took away the key of knowledge. In other words, they don't know the law. They're operating against the law, in color of law. They're operating illegally on a daily basis out there on our streets, but they don't know it because they don't know the law. And that's just how these Jews want to make sure that they don't know the law, so that they can do these things illegally against our populations. Listen again now, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. The proof of the pudding is in the eating or the tasting. So, with that said, let's now think about the Jews who claim that they are the tribe of Judah. What are the ramifications of this claim? Well, for one, they claim they're the tribe of Judah, which is taking the highest seat, which proves that that's not the tribes of Israel, but proves again that those are the Jews, because only the Jews would try to take the highest seat. Praise be to Yahweh, and thank you, Father, for revealing things to your people that weren't revealed in such a manner before. I've never heard this said before, and I thank thee for revealing this to me and to thy people. Such treasures of knowledge give proof that these liars and these Jews are the same today as they were in the time when you were here. And they're the same before you were here. So we all thank you for this tidbit. I would call it a nugget of gold, really, instead of a tidbit. Pardon my language. It's actually a golden nugget that proves to you, see, where are the rest of the tribes? If the Jews are all that's left of Israel, where are the rest of the tribes? Number one, that's one thing you can think of. They just so happen to be the highest tribe. Now, number two, let's take a look at the Jews, and let's take a look at the tribe of Judah, and let's compare the two together. Now, we know that Judah, the patriarch, was the greatest warrior probably ever to live. Correct? And we know that the true tribe of Judah, Germany, mostly Germany, were the greatest warriors we've ever seen, whether it was through Pharez in Rome, or whether it was through Germany itself. As far as I'm concerned, the World War I and World War II Germany are the finest of the finest. They show that they really are the tribe of Judah. Now, let's compare that to the Jews over there in so-called Israel. Are they great warriors? Let me ask you that question. Are they a great army? Number one, they're one of the most gay-friendly armies, according to my news show. According to them, that is. And Tel Aviv is the gay capital of the world. Are they a great army, air force? Are they a great military power in the world? They are so bottom of the barrel that Hezbollah can beat them. Anybody can beat them. Anybody. And if they didn't have any of the equipment that they've stolen, or technology that they've stolen, or that they've usurped through America and Germany and other places, they wouldn't be able to do, anything. the Palestinians would kill them with rocks. So, the testimony is right there. That's all you have to know. Who is the tribe of Judah? Well, we know that some of Judah is Scotland. We know that. And Scotland was a great, great army. They're a little cucked at this point. But we know the tribe of Judah in Germany was amazing, don't we? They took on the whole world. Don't we know that? And we see also that this fake one who likes to take the highest seat tried to wipe out and is still trying to wipe out the tribe of Judah today. As I've told you on this show several times, whether it's in America, where 55% of the population was German in World War I, or it's South Africa, where the Boers were, and are, or Germany itself, you know what took place after the war? They've been trying to wipe out the tribe of Judah, but they can't do it, because they're incapable of doing anything except stealing, robbing, and killing, and things like that. They're very capable of evil, but they're not allowed to get away with certain things because Yahweh is ultimately in control. And he's not going to let the tribe of Judah be wiped out. So we see right now that these Jews took the highest seat in the tribes. But they're not part of any of the tribes. See, all 12 tribes are still alive. All 12 tribes have a remnant. And the Jews are not part of any of that remnant. They've been lying to the world for a long time. I've just proven to you, or I should say, Yahweh has just proven to you with yet another nugget of gold that the Pharisees, who were the Jews at his time, and still are around today, they take the highest seats, or try to take the highest seats. They don't operate in anything he talks about. Their law, Yahweh's law, is not on their heart. Because if it was, they would have taken the lowest seats. He wouldn't have had to rebuke them for such a thing. He who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. And the Jews who have exalted themselves, your humbling is on the doorstep. This is only going to last so much longer. This is only going to last so much longer. Number two, I would mention that you should realize is these Jews have a saying that they use in Mossad, and I noticed that this same saying was used by the supposed group called Anonymous. We never forgive, and we never forget. That's how Anonymous revealed who they really were. And of course, there's probably many people that are under the guise of Anonymous, because it's the same thing as the KKK. Anybody can get a robe and put it on. Anybody could get a German soldier's uniform and go out and take pictures with bodies in mass graves and pretend that that was the Nazis or that was Germans that did those things. Now, there's a Jew who's named Rommel in Germany. I just did this news story this week. He's just stolen the name Rommel or something somehow. Of course, that's one of the most famous names from World War II, as you well know. Now, this Jew, the Germans are allowing this Jew to hunt down Nazis. So you see, the Jews never forgive or forget. They've already milked that cow for so long, that cow has not one more drop of milk left. Yet, they're still hunting the Nazis. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there will be a new hunt that will begin soon. And I want you Jews to pay attention very closely. You see how you've tried to hunt us down and destroy us? There's coming a time very soon where the hunt for you will begin. Because this is what Yahweh told me last night. I mean, it's not that I didn't know abortion doctors were killers. But what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Jews use words to change the dynamic of how you think of them. Now, if I called abortion doctors killers all the time, you'd think of them as killers, correct? Because that's exactly what they are. You see, Netanyahu is a baby killer. And so are these abortion doctors. But you see, they changed the name to abortion, and they called them doctors. And they had them wear the white coats of the religion of medical science. And they changed the name of baby to fetus so that you won't feel so offended. I mean, after all, if this abortion doctor who is a killer is killing a fetus instead of a baby, well, therefore, I mean, it's not so bad, right? And now that you know that they're actually selling the body parts around the world, that gives testimony that most of them are Jews. A very high percentage of abortion doctors are Jews because this is how they get to kill their enemies. This is another way of waging war. You understand? So, we have these killers walking amongst us, or among us. That's why I call it they live among us. We have all these killers. They call them abortion doctors. Now, also, let's not forget that the medical system or industry or whatever you want to call that, they're the third largest killer in the nation. So, in effect, many of them are killers too. But these abortion doctors are specialized killers. Because not only are they draining the blood and passing that around amongst the rabbis, but they are selling baby parts. Now, we all know that we've seen that in the news many times on my show, that Jews kill Palestinians and sell their organs around the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see the relation? Can you see? Who else would do something like that? Who would do that? But the Jew. Well, maybe some Negro would. Because they're really sinking lower by the day. But I'm not going to get into that right now. Those are killers among us too. But the abortion doctor is something that was legalized. And it makes me want to look into who authorized these killers to be among us, to live among us, in the guise of being doctors. Legal killers, you know, like 007, he's licensed to kill. Well, so are these killers, these abortion doctors. You know, if the Jew can make more money by selling the body parts and draining the blood. Oh, they would never do that. No, they've only been doing that for thousands of years. You tell me they know they wouldn't do that? There will be a hunt for these abortion doctors beginning soon, I hope. Just like these Jews are hunting Nazis or hunting Germans who tried to save the world from them, and there's no mercy, there will come a day when these abortion doctors are going to be hunted. And they will be taken to trial, and they will be hung. So if you Jews think you're getting away with all you're getting away with, you're not getting away with anything. The hunt will begin for you soon. And the way you're going, you won't be able to go to Israel because supposedly it's getting full. And you won't be able to stay in our countries, so you're going to have to go to other countries. But you know what's happening in a lot of other countries? They're getting savvy to you too. Down in South America, they're starting to get Jew savvy. Eastern Europe, they're getting Jew savvy. China, they're getting Jew savvy. There's going to be a time when there's no place for you to go. And the hunt will begin. And soon the hunter will be the hunted. Now I'm going to tell you something else that I will not forgive or forget you, Jews, because you are the enemies of the tribes. You are the enemies of the only God there ever is or was or can be, and that is Yahweh. You are our enemy. I will not forget what you have done in Nuremberg. And I just pray, like I did last night, I prayed that Yahweh will put a mark on all these abortion doctors, all the people that were in the Nuremberg trials in the behind the scenes doing the very, very dirty, torturous things that they did, which I will never forget. And I'll be doing some shows on that so that you will never forget it, dear listener, either. There will be a hunt. I just pray there's a mark on you Jews right now. I asked Yahweh to place it upon you, so that when the angels hunt you, they'll know who you are and where to get you. You will not escape. And ultimately, you will not escape in eternity anyway. What was done during the Nuremberg trials in the background with crushing testicles and things I've heard the German people say, I'm ashamed that my nation allowed these Jews to be able to get away with such things. This shows me that my article, Pigs, Dogs, and Sheep, is right on the money. You military Shabbos Goy race traders, you pigs, politicians, and so on and so forth, you allowed this to happen. You allowed the Jews to actually crush people's testicles and on and on. I'm not even going to get into it. We'll get into it later in future shows. I will never forgive or forget that you've done this to our people. and you've done that to the tribe of Judah. Make no mistake that there will be a payback. Make no mistake. We're already watching you every day. We're hearing what's coming out of your mouths. We know what you're up to. You're being exposed, and the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And I prayed that Yahweh will not allow you to have a minute's peace. I prayed that whoever's involved in killing our children, touching our children, who was ever involved in Nuremberg and World War II Germany post-war, who was ever involved in this 700 pedophile suspects ring and more, that they will all be marked, that they will all be hunted, and that they will all be put to death. Because you cannot let the tree of sin continue to grow. You must cut it off at the roots. Now, I'm very serious about this too. Very serious about it. Whatever happened over there in Russia, it's the same thing. I prayed that you're all marked. I'm not talking about marked with a marker. I'm talking about with a spiritual mark. Not just the mark of the beast. We already know you're the beast. A special mark for special people that have done special things to the tribes of Israel. Special things that require special judgments, that require special tortures and torments. Remember what Yeshua said, if you touch one of our little children, it would be better if you had a millstone tied around your neck and you would drop to the bottom of the sea. Well, Judas, who actually had the devil come and live inside him for a short period, he knew and wished he was never born. It would have been much better if he were never had been born, that he had never had been born. And that goes for all of you abortion doctors who are pretending you're doctors, but you're killers. You're entrepreneurs of blood and of body parts. You Jews who are destroying us through pornography and all the other things that you're doing, destroying our children through the pedophile rings. All you Jews that are trying to shape the minds and teach, remember, you're teaching the flocks, and you're teaching them incorrect things that Yahweh does not want taught. He does not want people to say, oh, I don't care if people are homosexual as long as it doesn't affect me. No, that means you're a cuck. That means soon you'll be saying, well, I don't mind if they have sex with, if these senators and all these people have sex with young children like the Jews have always done and like the Muslims do. As long as they don't have sex with my child. And then maybe we can get it to horses, you know. I don't mind if my next door neighbor has a sexual relation with his horse, just as long as he does it in his own privacy. That doesn't matter. You're being cucked. You're agreeing with the devil and his children. Either you agree with Yahweh and adhere to what he says, or you're cooked. I want you to understand that. So I've prayed that there'll be a special mark upon you Jews, especially the ones that are involved in doing these dirty, dirty, dirty things that you've been doing. And I pray that you will be hunted. I pray that you will have fear that will grow exponentially, and that it will twist and turn within you, and it will never stop growing. And I proclaim that in the mighty name of Yahweh, in accordance with His will. His will be done, ultimately, and that's the way I want it. But I proclaim this in the mighty name of Yahweh. I pray that you will not have a moment's peace. People like George Soros, people like these abortion doctors who are really killers that walk among us, and these pedophile suspects, all these pedophiles that walk among us, and they walk among us, they live among us legally. You do know that Senator Ted Kennedy, when he was putting in the hate crimes bill, which I wrote a song called Haters, you do know that Teddy lessened the sentences for pedophiles and underlaid that in that law, in that particular law. You do know that, don't you? He lessened the sentences for pedophiles. And you're going to tell me he's not a Jew? I got people out there saying, oh, don't discredit yourself. Ted Kennedy's not a Jew. Well, I already told you, Bertrand Comparé talks about it in one of his teachings, that a reporter went over to find out the background of the Kennedys and found out that they had Jew background. Now, they look white because they've probably mixed with white people. But their whole lives, their father, Joe Kennedy, sold liquor. The Jews don't just let people sell liquor. And Teddy Kennedy is the one that worked with Jacob Javits to bring forth all these Negroes and everybody else into our country. And on it goes. Look at this he did so much destruction in Massachusetts. Him and the other Jew, John Kerry, who pretends he's an Irishman as well. Now you're going to tell me John Kerry's not a Jew? He looks like Frankenstein. You not only tell who a Jew is by how he looks, by his countenance, you tell a Jew by what he does, how he lives, how he operates. Now listen to this. 700 pedophile suspects identified as global ring is broken up. London, June 18th, a team of international investigators infiltrated an internet chat room used by pedophiles who streamed live videos of children being raped, rescuing 31 children and identifying more than 700 suspects worldwide, officials said Monday. The chat room, which was called Kids, the Light of Our Lives. Now, right away, that speaks Freemasonry to me, the light. Kids, goats. See? Goats, the light of our lives. Goats, the light of our lives. Featured images including live videos of children, some only months old, being subjected to horrific sexual abuse, and Jim Gamble, chief executive of the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Center in Britain. Said Jim Gamble. You could go, and if you were in the club, arrange a time and a place when online you could view a child being raped and brutalized in real time, he said. I don't think I really need to go much further here. Some 200 of the suspects are based in Britain. Oh, I'm real surprised. Archie Bunker called that a queer country. And officials said more than half of them were already being prosecuted. Officials would not give a breakdown of the countries where the other suspects of children or children live. Describing it as a massive leap forward, Mr. Gamble said the investigation involved agencies from 35 countries, including the United States, Canada, and Australia. Investigators made the case public after the sentencing of the ringleader, Timothy David Martin Cox. That's a Jew name. Cox. Mr. Cox, 27, was given an indeterminate jail sentence, meaning he will remain in prison until authorities decide he is no longer a threat to children. Well, I know how to make sure he's no longer a threat to children. What you do is you kill him. That's what you do. Don't gamble, Mr. Gamble. Kill him. And kill all of them. The best way to send a message that this is going to stop, you keep touching these little children, and, oh boy, you have no idea what's coming your way. You have no idea. You see, I told you that Jews know that they have no hope in eternity. So it doesn't matter how many disgusting things they do. See, this is the conundrum that you and I live in, dear listener. This is where we live. They live among us. We don't want them to live among us. But they've used the law, like the lawyers, to keep these people alive among us. To legally give doctors, abortion doctors, the right to kill our children, drain their blood, and sell their body parts. They live among us. Oh, no, we don't want them to live among us. But this is the conundrum we have with this two-seed thing going on, two-seed line thing. You see, put yourself in a Jew's shoes, even though that would not be, that would be a real smelly place to be. The Jew has no hope of eternity. The Jew is like his father, the devil. His judgment has already really taken place. So therefore, it doesn't matter if he does a little evil or as much as he possibly can, the outcome will be the same. Or so he thinks. We don't know what Yahweh has in store for these people. Maybe Jews that don't do as much evil won't have as much torment. I really don't know. I don't know how it works. Yahweh knows these things, and he's very capable, and he will take care of these things. Hopefully he kills them all completely, so we never have to deal with them, just like Mr. Cox. What to do with him? Kill him. That's what to do with him. That's how you make sure he will no longer be a threat to children. You kill him. Now, these pedophile rings have been going on for a long time. And we do know... Oh, my goodness. We do know... These people are disgusting, man. We do know about the Franklin cover-up with the senators, that they were sending little boys. And I've also found out about the Bush family bringing lots of pedophiles into the White House and giving them jobs. Now, why would somebody love to have sex with a child? Well, not only because they're gonzo in their brains, but they're doing the next best thing to killing the child. They're destroying the child's childhood. They're destroying the child and perverting the child. They're violating the child. They're going to destroy this child by making them adhere to lifestyles that they would not have touched otherwise. And they take pleasure in the destruction of our children. They live among us, ladies and gentlemen. The Jew lives among us. So if you are in his shoes, it doesn't matter how much evil you perpetrate, because the outcome is the same as far as he knows. So therefore, they're willing to go a lot further than they would go if they were under the same type of structure as we are. So it's a conundrum for us to live with, because we have to try to obey Yahweh's laws, and yet we have these people. Well, they're not really people, they're sub-races, they're beasts of the field, and they're good at stealing money and lying like their father. And we have to live with these people. They come into our countries, and we see the effects they have on our countries. We don't want them here. We didn't ask them to come here, but they're here, nevertheless, and they live among us. You're living with dead people. You're living with... Remember I told you that if you have a plant and you allow the dead heads of that plant to live with the living parts of the plant, the dead will eventually kill the living. That's one of the reasons I told you we bury the dead. If they were to live among us and we kept them above ground, all kinds of things like flesh-eating flies and all kinds of things would begin to occur. And the dead would kill the living. Well, it's the same with the plant. Once you begin to take the dead and cut off the dead from among you, all of a sudden the plant begins to thrive with beautiful life. So as long as the Jew lives among us, as long as they live among us, as long as the abortion doctor killers live among us, as long as the pedophiles live among us, as long as the perverted people that have been perverted by these type of people live among us, it will kill us. While the liberal tries to protect the dead, because that's what Jews are. I told you that before. I read it right out of the serpent book, okay? Let me see if I can find that right now, because, again, you know, you got to be refreshed with these things. Sooner or later, you're going to get this, you know. Sooner you're going to really understand what's being said to you. You liberals are trying to protect people, the deadheads of society, the ones that are killing the living. Now, I know who's having you do that. I understand. We must not protect the dead. We must not keep pedophiles alive. We must not keep killers alive. Who's ever killing us is going to kill again. And that's what they're doing with the beast of the field. They're allowing them lighter sentences, allowing them to get out, kill again, and end up right back in prison. It's being deliberately done. The dead is allowed to live with the living. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the liberal protects this. The liberal is part of protecting the queer and the transvestite and the Jew and the Negro killers and the Muslim killers and all these different things, right? What you're doing is, it's like you're guarding a plant and you're saying to the shepherd or the gardener, you're saying, don't make that plant healthy. Don't cut those dead heads off that. We want that plant, the whole plant, to die. If you were to cut those out of society, society would become healthy again. We don't want that. We're liberals. We need to protect those people. We need to protect these dead people, these dead that are living among us, these zombies. We don't want you trying to make that plant healthy. You understand what I'm telling you? You do understand, right? It's just that simple. So if you're guarding the dead heads of society and protecting them so that they can live among us, so that they live and thrive among us, whether they're dead or not, they still thrive. Because what they do is they kill the good aspects of society. So are you sure you want to protect these people? Are you sure that's in your own best interest? Huh? Let me ask you, is that in your own best interest, Mr. Liberal? Is it good to protect the dead? So why don't you start a campaign that nobody can be buried? If you want to kill all the planet and kill everybody off with your protection, your supposed protection, your liberalism, why don't you make it so we don't bury people anymore? They're already doing that in Syria, and it's causing all kinds of problems with flesh-eating flies. So why not just try to protect the dead totally and make sure they can't be buried? That way we can die. It'll kill us that much faster. That, right? You want to kill us, don't you? You want to keep everything that's against the laws of nature alive, don't you? You want to help the Jews, the devil's offspring, protect the dead, don't you? Now here it is again. Right from The Mystery of the Serpent by B.F. Jackson. I'm going to start here on page 14. While preying on man, that vampire race utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist to elevate him to the zenith of spiritual attainment. Is that not so? Isn't the Jewish version of Christianity with the Jewish Jesus that has been perpetrated by this vampire race, corrupted our race, is killing us, is spiritually killing us, is physically killing us, is mentally killing us, yet they're pretending to assist us to bring us to the zenith of spiritual attainment, aren't they? So he continues, 2 Peter 2:11, 12 and 12, throws light on the condition when he says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before Yahweh, but these as natural brute beasts See, they are brute beasts. They're beasts of the field, these Jews. I told you they're a sub-race. They always were. And they still are. Made, okay, it says right here, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now he continues. The original Greek word, the original Greek for that word, natural, is phusikos. It means things born in one. Brute is a logos, or without life. Beast is zoon, a living creature, from the book of Revelation. Made in geneo, or to conceive, bring forth in childbirth. Take is halison, or with a view to capture. Destroyed is, this is a hard one, isthoran, or corrupt. Perish is katathiro, that's a tough one too, or to corrupt utterly. Thus, now this is again, I'm repeating this again, but this may not be a repeat for you. And we need to hear this over again. This is speaking of the Jews. And this is Peter, and this is what it says in the real Greek. This is the real Greek translation of 2 Peter 2:11 and 12. Thus the original declaration of Peter, St. Peter is, these living dead things, pay attention, these living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Peter and Jude graphically show they are speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about the same condition Jude 9 shows. The angel is Michael and the brute beast is the devil, who according to the personal family record of Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent prince Nahar. Anyway, I'm going to read the thing again. The original one that you read in your book says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, but, this is the part, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And here's what it says again. These living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth, with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Do you understand? Now, are you putting that together with what I just told you about the Jews? What did I just tell you about the Jews? That they're dead. They're walking dead. They're dead living things. They're walking among us. They're living. They live among us. It is a conundrum that we are placed in a position. Not only do we have to run the race, so to speak, not only do we have to try to obey Yahweh's laws, but we have to try to do it with these people or these beasts, these living dead things living amongst us, among us. Never mind the rest of the beast of the field. Are you starting to understand the test, the race that we are running? Are you starting to understand that it's much more important and much harder than you ever thought it might be? Are you understanding why you cannot do it yourself, but Yahweh becomes your righteousness? Remember and never forget that if you stay with Yahweh, there is a protection there. If you show yourself true to Him and He knows you're trying, there's a protection there. Oh, you could be killed. You could be martyred. You wouldn't be the first, and you wouldn't be the last. At least you would have hope. Remember how Job had lost everything. He had lost his physical things, his wealth. Then he lost his health. Then he found out his friends were useless. And he felt he lost Yahweh as well. He had nothing left to lose. And then he began to speak and sin with his lips. See, if you've got nothing left to lose, then you might as well just go all the way. Do you understand? That's how the Jew lives. That's how the Jew thinks. If there's nothing left to lose, why do you think they have mental problems? Not only for the reason that they have race mixed so many times that they're all confused. You see, when you race mix, you don't know who you are. That's why a lot of the problems that are going on in the world right now, this is why Yahweh says not to race mix. You become confused. You don't know whether you're white or black. You don't know whether you're a Muslim or a Jew. You don't know anything. That is called confusion. And that is exactly what the devil and his children promote. That's called corruption. And that is just what the devil and his children promote. They love hybridism. They promote hybridism. Now, I heard Pastor Steve say that on these movies, the blacks always get the blonde girl. I'll tell you something right now. You wouldn't catch me watching a movie of that. Unless I was doing it for a study reason. Or if they got it in there and I didn't know it was coming. Hollywood is aborted to me. I have become an abortion doctor. And I have aborted Hollywood. I have become an abortion doctor, and I have, but not the same kind as those ones, and I have aborted the training of Jewry. I have aborted the teaching of Jewry. I have aborted cable television and the indoctrination of Jewry. If you want to be an abortion doctor, do that. Abort something that's worth aborting. You don't abort children. I would think that most of those white Israelite women that come out of there are regretful that they've done that. I mean, unless they're on some heavy drugs and they don't know any different anyway. I believe that many of them will suffer for the rest of their lives knowing they've done what they've done. And in many cases, it's a mistake they've made. They've gotten the counsel of an abortion doctor or maybe a feminist Jewish secretary for an abortion doctor. And they've made a bad decision that they have to live with. Ladies and gentlemen, this war is serious. This is no joke. You think we sit up here week after week telling you these things and it's just a fairy tale like the Jews? No. I have people tell me my show is interesting, but it's confronting. I happen to know there's plenty of you that like me out there, and there's people that don't like me out there either. They don't like that I speak my mind. They don't like that I give you unadulterated truth. I am not going to water down the truth for you or anybody else. You know, my show is pure in the sense where you're getting truth. Now, if I make a mistake, I understand and I will admit it and get rid of that. Because I'm not perfect. But as pure as I can give it to you, I give it to you. I'm not paid to do this. This is out of love for you. Out of love for the truth. Love for Yahweh. This is because I know who the enemy is. I've been made aware, and there's a responsibility in that. I've taken on this responsibility. I must give you the truth, not watered down truth, not spoon fed truth. And I warn Tex Mars again that if you don't come and straighten out sooner or later that you know who Yahweh is, you know his name is Yahweh, and you know who the tribes of Israel are, and you know that the Jews are not the tribe of Judah or any of the tribes, if you do not come to that conclusion, I pray that you will never sell a book again in the mighty name of Yahweh. If your book sales are that important to you, that you will not tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then I pray that you lose your whole ministry in the mighty name of Yahweh. I don't care what you've said. I'm not your judge, but I know that you know what the truth is. I know that you know that his name is Yahweh, and I know that you know that the Jews are not to be saved. You tell people that you're out there studying 16 hours a day. Well, tell me, what are you studying? It doesn't take me 16 hours a day to figure out what I know. This is my last warning to you. When I heard him get up on this radio station, EFR, that we have, and he spewed out the same garbage that he's been spewing out for a long time. I like the man, don't get me wrong. He's a spoon feeder. Means he gives you a little bit of information at a time because he wants to hold a power seat over you. And he's so into his book sales that he'd sacrifice his own soul for the book sales. And when I heard that show, and he was not refuted whatsoever, I was very unhappy. I don't care if he never came on my radio show again. If I interviewed him, either you answer my questions or get off my show. And I guarantee he would never come on my show and answer the questions. I don't do interviews at this point anyway. But here's a man who is talking against our enemy, but including our enemy in the tribes of Israel at the same time, and pretending he doesn't know that Yahweh's name was taken out of the books 6,800 times or whatever it is, and changed to Lord and God, and Lord means Baal. You're telling me Mr. Tex Mars still says the word Lord, and he doesn't know with 16 hours a day of study that Lord means Baal, and continues to call the Father Baal. And I do have a few axes to grind with people about wordage. You cannot continue to keep using the term anti-Semitism. You cannot keep using that as if it's a legitimate term. It has to be exposed, destroyed, and cast away. I've told you at least 50, 60 times that we are the Semitic people, the white people, and the seed of Ishmael are the Semitic people. The Jews are not Semitic. The only way they have any Semitic blood is if they've married into Ishmael or the white race. So the term that was created by the Jew, anti-Semitism, means anti-white. So when the Jew is calling and using the term anti-Semitism, it's a joke on you. He's calling you anti-white. The Jews are not white. Therefore, stop using the term anti-Semitism like it's a credible term. Expose it. Destroy it. Is it important? Well, Dave, is it really important? I mean, people know what you mean when you're saying it. No. Anti-Semitism, it can no longer be, we can no longer allow this verbiage. The Jews use verbiage, just like I said with abortion doctors and fetuses. You don't have any problem killing a fetus, but if I told you you were killing a baby, you might have a problem with that, right? That's what I'm talking about. You cannot keep calling Yahweh Lord. Oh, well, the people know what you mean. No, well, I mean... But it's nothing to split over. You'll just have to answer yourself. But we need to stop these terms and stop allowing these Jews to use these terms against us. See, if I destroy the term anti-Semitism, they can no longer use it as a weapon against my people. Therefore, I shall destroy it. But if my people help keep the term alive, then it continues to destroy my people. It's just that simple. They're afraid to be called anti-Semitic. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Do you see now why we need to destroy it? If they're afraid of being called a racist, then we all should be racists. That way there's not anybody who's not a racist, so therefore the term is diluted. The more you're called a racist, the less you become sensitive to it. It's the same as when Hollywood showed you murder after murder after murder after murder. Well, they did that because they were trying to make you insensitive to it, so that when they had their wars and you saw it on their media and you saw that 20,000 people died in Iraq today, oh, well, you know, that's something I'm used to hearing all the time. I've been desensitized to that. Oh, blood all over the place. Oh, that's every day. They live among us. They thrive among us. And they're killing us in the process. Sooner or later, the liberals are going to have to step aside and let the gardener tend the garden. And when the gardener, being the Adamic race, begins to tend to the garden again as Yahweh has deemed it to be, the garden will once again be healthy. It'll be on its way to being full of health and thriving. And the deadheads will be buried. And the deadheads will be removed. They won't be sent to prison so that we can support them for the rest of their lives and they can watch cable television. No, they will be dead. And so sooner or later, the Adamic race is going to have to realize its responsibility and institute this new hunt. And we will hunt down those that participated in the Nuremberg trials in the background, like they hunted the World War II Germans, and they call them Nazis. And we will hunt the abortion doctors, and we will hunt the pedophiles, and the perverted, and the beasts of the field that are killing us. And they will be removed. And the plant, the nations, the garden of the Adamic race will begin to flourish once again. But until that time, it seems like they'll just turn their heads while a woman gets raped. And they'll turn their heads while 20 people kick the living crap out of a young boy. 20 blacks on one white. Sooner or later, we're going to have to do something about it. Now, I'm not trying to tell you go out and get violent, but I'm just trying to tell you that you need to prepare. You need to be prepared. You need to start thinking of the future. The sooner we stop these abortion doctors from killing our children, that's one more way our race is being killed. That'll begin to heal up that end of it. The sooner we remove the beasts of the field from our countries, the sooner our people will feel comfortable and have children again. And that will begin to heal our race. The sooner or later we destroy the terms that the Jew has created to demonize us, instead of keep using the term like it's a legitimate term, the sooner our people will not be afraid of being called any of these names that have been created. The sooner these pedophiles are hunted down worldwide and taken to trial and killed, not put in jail for life, killed, the sooner our children can enjoy their childhoods again. The sooner they can have childhood memories that are good, that are holy, that are clean, rather than tainted all up by they who live among us. They live among us, and we die as they live among us. That's the key. Is it worth allowing them to live and protecting them to live among us so that we can die? That's the question. That's a question that you need to answer. Is it worth trying to make beasts of the field equal to you so that your children can be beaten? So that you can, they can have a terrible childhood, maybe quit school, maybe give up on life, maybe give up on their dreams, give up on their aspirations, give up on their talents, so we can make beasts of the field, which can't be done. They can't become equal to us. I don't care what law you pass. I don't care what ideal you have. I don't care what kind of brainwashing you've been brainwashed with. It cannot be done. No. The answer is no. Is it worth us protecting them to live among us? And that we should suffer all we have to suffer so that they can live among us. No, it's not worth it. So that you can prove that you're not a racist. See, the Jew challenged you to prove you're not a racist, young women. And you said, well, I'll sleep with somebody from another race to prove I'm not racist. Oh, sure. You've been challenged by the devil, not by God, not by Yahweh. You better think on that for a little while. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.